D-level personality here. Shaletta, the folks are lining up to say, how about a round of applause for Shaletta?
Hey, everybody!
The queen of Feisty Fridays here. And I just want to let you know, I talked to CCO Management. When they put the pictures up, the first picture they put up out here at the State Fair was of Shaletta.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Right
oh,
away,
no.
they put
no.
that picture
no.
of Shaletta. That's
you
what I was
to
told.
You write this wrong. Okay, so I want you all to take a look at the banner that WCCO created. You've got Vanita and Jimmy and Steve, Jordana, Adam, David, Chad Hartman, Dave Harrigan, Jason DeRusha. He ain't been here but a minute. Dan Cook, Laura, I guess that's Henry Lake, and Chris Tubbs.
Although I'm not even sure that is Chris Tubbs.
Okay, so
I mean, it's kind of a different picture, Chris Tubbs.
Who is missing from that banner? Who is not? Whose face is not on
Denny Long?
The WCCO radio banner that should be there.
Pete Najarian?
Who is not on that banner? Who has more earned media than anybody at the station combined? Who can host and produce and do social media in real
produce
time?
Produce?
Who is a Star Tribune columnist? Who is also does monologues on Almanac? Who also is, you know, one of the people? And whenever I put up a social media post on WCCO Radio, it gets probably 10 times the amount of traffic that anybody else gets.
So also, the most humble.
Who?
I mean,
who? What Emmy Award winning comedian is not on the WCCO radio banner? Huh? Yeah.
Blois Olson?
No, that is not Blois Olson. It's me. Y'all are wrong. How y'all put everybody up there but me?
That is so disrespectful.
Who agrees? Who agrees? Yes. Okay. Yeah. Clap. They're clapping. They're clapping.
Like I, so in other words, I went up there, ripped your picture down. Is that what you're suggesting?
Okay, first of all, I expect you to be an advocate. I expect you to say, now y'all are taking pictures, make sure you include Shaletta. Did y'all get Shaletta? Where's Shaletta's picture? You should have not let them even put that banner
Can
up
I tell you the truth?
I was included.
I have no clue when I took that picture.
Are you kidding me?
I do not remember at all taking that picture.
It's a glamour slash prom photo, and you don't remember getting all gussied up with your collared shirt on and your hair all slicked back?
No, I don't remember.
And whenever you took it, did you ask at what time is Shaletta taking her picture? Because we need to make sure she is on the banner.
I assumed you set up the schedule. I mean, you run the darn place. I've learned that a long time ago. Okay, so how did you pivot and change what was going on?
After I got angry, I got even, right? And so I went over to Image 360 in Woodbury, and they created me a graphic. As you can see on the other end of the fence is the WCCO Radio Outcasts banner that
it
I created.
It should say that. Why didn't you put Outcasts on there? That would have been great if
it's
you did.
It's me and Blois Olson, and I got to go pick up a picture of Steve Thompson because he's not up there either. So that is going to stay up here for the duration of the Minnesota State Fair, and nobody is going to take it down. So I had to create, print, and poor Sean, I had to wake him up at 5 o'clock this morning come down here with hammer and nail and put that up because I knew if I asked you or Adam Carter, it was never going to get done.
Okay. If anybody wants to do somebody the greatest favor ever, grab Sean, sneak him out here, and give him his freedom back. Sean, how long have you been waiting for those words? I mean, forever. He mocks forever. Oh,
as he eats that delicious soul bowl.
Oh, my God. You brought me.
I brought you soul bowl.
Oh, so good.
Chef Gerard Class over in the food building. They have crab boil wings. Those were the best. You had them, girl. They are delicious. You haven't had them. Okay. Dave Harrigan, where's give me the rest we got left. Girl, come up here and try these wings. They are absolutely delicious.
So here's what I'm going to say. I normally think chicken wings are slightly overrated. I do. These ones are fantastic. They are so good.
Anybody else? I've got three wings.
Come on. Come up here.
Come on. Get a wing.
Have some chicken wings
right now. Have some chicken wings. They are absolutely delicious. The best thing I've tried so far of the new foods here at the State Fair. Now, I was at Almanac earlier with Kathy Werzer.
Okay. And you want to mention a couple other shows while you're here?
I'm not name dropping.
Common?
But we tried Korean corn dogs.
Yeah.
Have you had those? Those are some new
yesterday. If you've listened to the show, Dara Moskowitz Grumdahl.
If I'm not on.
Yeah. I mean, you really don't. Do you ever listen if you're not on?
I listen to Jamie Ukus. I listen to people I like. I'm not saying I don't like you, but 3 hours of you is a lot.
It's to tolerate me.
Yeah.
No, what did you think of that?
The Korean corn dog?
Yeah.
I thought it was really good. I thought it was very different, but that's what we come to the State Fair for, to experiment, try new food. So what do you think?
Oh, now they also had yesterday that same place, the hot Cheetos corn dog.
Oh, yes.
Now the kids might want the hot Cheetos.
The kids will love the hot Cheetos corn dog. But the way my 52-year-old digestive system is set up, I cannot do the hot Cheetos.
Cannot do the hot Cheetos.
No,
yeah.
not and stay here. Yeah, yeah. I can't.
Okay, tell people in the radio audience what you're wearing right now and why you're wearing your Saints jersey.
I'm wearing my St. Paul Saints jersey because we just had Black Entrepreneurs Day at the ballpark. I threw out the first pitch, and so I had my yes. We had a good time. The Saints are one of my community partners, along with several other major organizations in town. They partner with Shaletta Makes Me Laugh.com. I'm not bragging. It's not bragging if it's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're backing it up. How was your throw?
Oh, okay. So my throw almost made it. It didn't quite make it because I was busy trying to remember when I was going to twerk. So I invented something new for Major League Baseball. It's called twitching. It's pitching and twerking.
And twerking, okay.
Right. So I was trying to figure out, do I twerk before the throw? Do I twerk after the throw? Do I twerk
during
the throw?
Yeah.
And so I was really caught up with my twitching, and so I didn't really pay attention to my throw. I was really focused on the twerking. And so that hurt me.
How does it now feel that you're a seasoned columnist at the Minnesota
column,
Star Tribune?
What did you think? My first
I thought it was
column
excellent.
Came out.
I thought it was very good.
Yes.
Monday, right?
Yeah, Monday. It came out on Monday about the Minneapolis Club and how more they're trying to reach out to more diverse business owners and community leaders because the membership has always been male and pale. And you always had to have somebody to vouch for you to get
right.
in. And if you didn't
I don't
anybody,
think the sign exactly says male and pale.
But when I walked
the
in,
truth can't be
saw.
Controversial.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That's what
truth.
I saw when I came in. And so so I had a happy hour there and just invited about 200, you know, leaders in the community who don't look like traditional members of the Minneapolis Club. And they got a couple of memberships out of it. So just hoping to grow and diversify the members there at the club.
Look
my
at
club.
Look at who's listening to you right now. The mayor of Minneapolis
That's
is coming.
That's my man.
Yeah.
That Jacob Fry.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming to listen to you.
He's coming to listen to me because that's what people do. I'm surprised that Beyonce's not here. Somebody told me that she was at the
Yeah, what do we think about that? Was that just a little setup to try to get more eyeballs last night?
You know, I don't know what that was about. I don't, because people were already watching. I don't like that whole Who Shot JR cliffhanger rope-a-dope type stuff.
Yeah,
tell me the truth. I'm going to watch anyway.
Yeah, Leon Panetta was not Beyonce.
No, he was not.
Okay, I mean,
no.
Panetta's nice. He made the case.
He's not even Kelly Rowland. He's not Michelle Williams or the other two girls that got kicked out the group.
Yes,
he's not even the backup dancer. He's not Les Twins.
Yeah.
He's not. No.
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 All right, let's talk. I want to talk a little Gus Walls and what happened there and how pretty despicable it has been. And many other issues. Anybody else wants to come up and chat with Shaletta? She's right
here.
You'll be here tomorrow at noon, is that correct?
Tomorrow, noon to 3 for the Shaletta Show. And at 2 o'clock, we're doing the Walls Wiggle line dance that I created. We're going to break the internet.
The Walls Wiggle
line dance.
Okay,
we're having a flash mob
right
here.
We'll have to hear about that when we come back. It's 17 past 1. Jacob Fry, by the way, the mayor of Minneapolis, is with us in about 15 minutes on WCCO. It is 22 past the hour of 1. Chad Herman back here with you. The mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, is on the scene. He's going to join us by 1:35. Twins president Dave St. Peter is kind enough to come out. He's going to join us about 2:05 at Am I Wrong with Dave Harrigan and the Am I Wrong committee. Shaletta.
Hey, y'all.
Where can people find you on social media? Are you on social media? I'm not sure.
That's where I get my mail. That's where I live. I pay mortgage on Twitter. Shaletta is funny. And everywhere else, Shaletta Brundage. And I had to get on TikTok. TikTok account now.
You're now on TikTok.
When I went viral
with the
NBC News interview, everybody was on TikTok looking for the boom lady. And so I had to get on TikTok to talk to the 983,000 people who were looking for the boom lady.
Yeah, and Dave Harrigan wouldn't put you on with us.
Wait, okay. When Vice President Harris selected Tim Walz to be her running mate, I called Dave Harrigan.
Yeah.
And I said, Dave Harrigan, did y'all want me to come on? Because I'm going to be all over TV, probably on CNN or NBC. And he was like, no, we good. We good. Don't worry about it. But I said, okay.
He certainly ate some of the Soul Bowl you brought, though.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, we could see how that relationship goes.
Uh-huh. One way.
All right, so I have a son. I have three sons. And my youngest son, Quentin, has autism.
Mm-hmm.
He has DIRC1A syndrome. Just a couple days ago, it was 10 years since DIRC1A was fully recognized. Your three beautiful children are all here. They are all on the autism spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
And I bring that up because our lives are immensely better because of our kids.
Mm-hmm.
We also have unique, different challenges that others do not have, but we would not trade it for one second.
Nope.
And the other day, Tim Walz is giving his speech. They show his family, including his son, Gus, who was a teary-eyed and at one point stood up, emotionally said, that's my dad.
Mm.
And to 99.99%, it was just one of those great family moments.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're conservative. It doesn't matter if you're indifferent to Tim Walz. This was the bond between a son and his dad.
Yeah.
And then, and it's a very small percentage, but by some of the folks who did it, they have large followings. They were cruel. Mm-hmm. They were despicable.
Mm-hmm.
They were hateful to Gus Walz. And it just, as a father of a son on the spectrum, it disheartened me. It angered me. And I just thought, these folks need to look into their soul.
Yeah.
Into their decency. This isn't about disagreeing with Tim Walz. You're totally entitled to do that. Do that as much as you want. But to take a cheap shot at any child.
Yeah.
Let alone a child like Gus, where the Walz has been open to say as a nonverbal learning disorder. And to do it in this way, callous isn't strong enough.
And, you know, people wonder why folks like us who have kids with special needs are a lot of times to ourselves. We don't go out a lot. We don't take the kids out a lot. We're very selective about where they go because we don't want them to be insulted or ridiculed or people to be cruel to them, for people to call them the R word or stupid. And, you know, when they're 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, we can control what they see and hear, but when they start getting up to the age where Gus is and they have their own social media accounts and their own cars and their own friends, it is hard to shield them from the nastiness of people. And so, you know, I applaud Gwen and Tim Walz because a lot of times people have kids with special needs, and when they get out on the stage, they put the child in the background. They put them in the room where there's a closed circuit TV. They don't put them on the front row in front of everybody so that they can see this child is special. This child is different. This child is neurodivergent. And when he did that, what it did was it gave hope and encouragement to other parents like us who have special needs kids that we don't have to be in hiding. We don't have to hide our kids. We're going to bring them out. We're going to be courageous. We're going to be bold. They're beautiful and brilliant in their own way. And we're done hiding. We're done being last. We're going to be first. And I was so grateful that they put him out there and let the world see him, because now I'm not afraid to let the world see my own kids.
Yeah, I made a decision because, as you know, like you do, I talk about my personal life. And in no way was I going to talk about Hunter and Griffin, my two older boys, and not talk about Quentin.
Yeah.
And we have had, I mean this with every fiber of my body. Quentin is my hero. My life changed immeasurably.
Mm-hmm.
It changed my career. It changed my marriage to Kathleen. Although now Kathleen is maybe my best friend on the planet.
Yeah.
I mean, we share 50-50 custody. But yeah, I could have stayed quiet because I know a lot of people who have special needs kids are afraid of a lot of things you said.
Yeah.
And they shouldn't be. They should stand up. You should call people out to use the R word or a cruel. And so this has continued. Now, today what has happened is when the Walz are up on stage, There is one point where Governor Walz is grabbing Gus's arm. And that has become a part of the conversation. I watched the video a couple times. You watch a little bit more. What do you see?
I saw the whole video, not just the little clip that's on social media. And what I saw was, for me, having a parent with kids who have autism, we have to hold on to them tight. Because they will run off, they will wander, they will get away. And he was very close to a teleprompter. Now, Gus is not typically used to being on a stage like that with all these people.
Tens of thousands of people.
All that excitement. And he was very unsuspecting of all the wires and cables and the teleprompter. So what I saw as a parent of a child with autism is that's the same way that I grab my kid's hand. When they're trying to run off or they're getting too close to danger, and I don't have time to explain to you, get back over here by me, there's a teleprompter. Get back over here by me, there's a stranger. All I have time to do in this moment is grab you as quickly as I can to help you get back over here to me. And that may be a little bit hard in the moment, but that's keeping him safe. Because what he didn't want him to do was trip and fall. If he would have tripped and failed, that's all we'd be talking about right now. But he grabbed his child the same way that I grab my kids here at the fair. You'll see me when they're running and they're trying to go somewhere that they're not supposed to go, or they're trying to wander off. You see my kids sitting right here because they're wanderers. I will jump over here and grab them as hard as I can to keep them safe. And that's what I saw.
Yeah, I mean, do I have to emphasize a point or two more to Quentin than I did to my older boys? Yes. You used to. Are there moments where there might be a little more frustration than normal? Yes.
Yeah.
You're human. And I thought that was kind of selectively editing again to make a political point. Again, there are many ways where you're completely allowed to disagree with Harris and Walz and point by point, and it's a very competitive race. But when we're going to this level, it's just beneath decency and dignity.
Okay, so I have to tell you what I'm doing on Sunday. So Sunday, after this whole situation happened with Gus Walz, I said I wanted to take the anger and frustration that I have and turn it into action. So I'm going to be at Alphabet Forest on Sunday at 10 a.m. right here at the State Fair, and I've created Autism on a Stick. And so I'm going to be crafting with the kids there at 10 o'clock, and each one of them is going to create Autism on a Stick. I've got 50 characteristics of what a good helper looks like for their friends who have autism, and they're going to make their own puzzle pieces. They're going to make their own Autism on a Stick. And so hopefully 10 years from now, we won't have a generation of people who think it is okay to be rude and unkind to kids who have special needs.
Bravo. How about a round of applause for that, because that means the world to me, too. I got to let you go. The mayor is here.
Okay.
She'll talk to you for a little bit here, and then she's back on with you on CCO at noon and then this great event at 10 o'clock Sunday out here at the fair. Jacob Fry, mayor of Minneapolis, is minutes away on CCO. All right. How about a round of applause for the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Fry, who's kind enough to join us. We just were talking family. Your daughter is out here right now.
She is, and I don't know where she is at the moment. Thankfully, she's with Sarah, my extraordinary wife. I have a feeling they're checking out butterflies right now and shoving hot dogs in their face, but they're having a great time nonetheless.
That is fantastic. Okay, when people recognize you out here and they want to talk to you about a Minneapolis issue, what are they talking about?
When people recognize you at the fair, the first thing that they want to talk about is the fair. This year,
that's true. Yeah.
This year, I got to say, what they want to talk about is the Democratic National Convention that just took place. And I got to tell you, people are hopping right now. They got a hop in their step. They're excited about the future. And I think they got a lot of confidence in Governor Walz and Vice President Harris.
What did you think? And I know you liked it. But what part of the vice president's speech last night do you think was most meaningful to her potentially winning the presidency?
It was what I would call a muscular speech. It was strong. In fact, this was the best speech I have ever heard on any issue in any topic area. If you did not get a chance to listen to Kamala Harris's speech last night, check it out. It was unifying. It was bold. It was bringing people together that don't necessarily have the same perspective. And at the same time, it also told our own side what they don't always want to hear. And so to make sure that you've got a unifying message, not just to the Democratic Party, but to the whole nation. The fact that she's doing that now, prior to the election, I think speaks volumes about who she is as a candidate and who she will be as a president.
Okay. Here's my perspective. When I first started reading about her, when she was attorney general, I was really impressed.
Yeah.
Because she was center left. I mean, there were many folks on the far left who were mad how aggressive she was in a lot of law enforcement positions. As a senator and then as a presidential candidate in 2019, I think it's pretty clear she moved more to the left. Okay. Fair or not, a lot of people believe the energy of the Democratic Party brought Joe Biden to the left. She has now moved away from some of those positions. So if you're someone who is in the center, you're the 40 to 50% in the center, and you're trying to decide if Kamala Harris is more a true progressive or a center-left person, what would you say to that person?
I would say that people respond to politicians and elected officials that are authentic. When Kamala Harris runs as the person that I believe her to be, I think people respond to it even when they disagree with her occasionally. So I think you're exactly right in that when she started out as a prosecutor, that has been her mindset. She is about following the law and seeking justice. I think in many respects she's returned to her roots, and in many respects it's not as much about her, all this popularity she's seeing right now. It's more about us. I think that we are responding to the moment. We are getting on board with a national message right now, and I think she's got the right one.
Do you think in hindsight that Joe Biden should have announced that he was stepping away sooner?
It's hard to say in hindsight he should have done anything differently, because from my perspective, it seems like it's working out very well right now. Joe Biden, arguably my favorite president of my lifetime, just because I know what he has done to Minneapolis. I know when he's been there
more
for
than
personally.
Obama.
Well, I wasn't mayor of Minneapolis during Obama, and so I guess I can't really speak to that. Obama, obviously another phenomenal president. Joe Biden gave us critical funds that we could not have done without. Personally speaking, he gave me a call when he didn't need to at one of the worst, most tough moments of my life, which we've talked to an extent about.
Yeah, we'll get to it.
I'm never going to forget it.
Okay, let's talk about this city. The recent 4 days of concerts, what were there, about 65,000 to 70,000 at Target Field?
Yeah.
Then for the two Metallica shows, probably 100,000. You had other shows in downtown Minneapolis. Where is the balance now? So clearly people for an event will 100% come down to Minneapolis. That is irrefutable. But as a person, and you know, I've lived in Minneapolis, I work in Minneapolis, I'm a defender of Minneapolis.
Yes, you are. Yeah.
Where do you balance accepting the destination part with also trying to get more people to come down there on Mondays and Fridays? Because, as you know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
rocking.
It's maybe 80 to 90% where it once was. Mondays and Fridays, it's pretty quiet. How do you embrace the destination part, but try to convince those folks and say, guess what? It's not just Metallica. Here's what's going on at the Walker. Here's what's going on at the Guthrie. Here's what's going on at restaurants or other events. And get them to return more often.
The balance has shifted. There were decades there where the downtown core was exclusively for people coming into work at 8 a.m. and leaving at 5:30 p.m. And yeah, sure, there was some entertainment, but that wasn't the main point of what a downtown core was. Now it's changed, and as you mentioned, we're getting hordes of people downtown for fun, for activities, for concerts and destinations. And as a matter of fact, and I got to put you the statistic out there, downtown Minneapolis is the fastest city coming back right now in terms of visitors, number one in the entire country.
How is that metric measured?
Well, it measures both where we are and then also where we were. So I think what it says is two things, to be totally fair.
How far?
It says that we're coming a long way really fast. It also says that we weren't doing so great for a little while there.
Yeah, right.
And so both of those things are true at the same time. And I think what you're going to see over the next several years is a big shift. What I want to see is more of a diversity of use in the downtown core. We have all experienced what's happening in North Loop right now. The place is rocking. I joke that nobody in North Loop ever got COVID. It's just been moving the whole way through.
I agree with
and,
you.
And, crazy. You know, and that's because you got this diversity of use. You got residential, commercial. You have restaurants and bars, even light industrial, all packed in the same neighborhood.
Yep.
And when you have that constant inflow and outflow of people through the space, not only does it add to extraordinary people watching and great street life, it makes people safer. And so we got to shift some of these buildings around to allow for more of a diversity of use in the downtown core also. It's not an easy lift. In some cases, it's a heavy one because it costs money to make these kinds of infrastructure changes, but it's a necessary one.
Okay, I'll just give an example right where WCC Radio is. You know that.
Yep.
It's at 7th and 2nd, and for decades, that was a bustling area. You know, you had multiple hotels there. You had office towers that were full. And to be honest, you have a couple of hotels, one that's established, one that's trying to establish itself. And you have office towers that are maybe 50% full, 40% full, and a lot of rents coming up. How can you revitalize that part of downtown Minneapolis?
There's two pieces here. One, people do need to come back to work. You know, somebody was saying to me the other day, said, Mayor, you know, you got it all wrong. The way of the future is everybody works from home. And I said, no, you got it all wrong. In 20 years from now, somebody's going to come up with this new brilliant idea that when you work in person, when you're able to actually talk to somebody face to face, you develop a beautiful kind of office culture. Mm-hmm. New ideas get formed. You're more
different
likely
energy.
To get promoted, different kinds of energy. And so I'm a big proponent of coming in person. And, yes, I also recognize that it has changed. And while I do think we're going to get back to 85% occupancy, we're hovering around 70 right now. No, we're probably not going to get back to 100 of pure office space. So for that specific area over on 2nd and 7th that you were mentioning,
yep.
Here's what we're looking at. We want to take the older buildings, which are largely not where you are. We want to take the older pre-World War II buildings and transition them to residential. Why? Because they're easier to transition. You can open the window, and people generally like fresh air where they're living. The elevator footprint works better for residential. The way you can transition the bathrooms around work for residential. So and then you move the workers that are presently in those spots to the more sleek glass skyscrapers that are around where you are. And so it's going to be a big transition. It's not going to happen overnight. And yes, it's going to be expensive. But as soon as we get through this kind of ring of fire that we're presently going through, I think the future is going to be really bright. In fact, I think it's going to be cooler than it was, you know, 5-10 years ago. But it'll be a change.
Let's do this. We'll keep Jacob here for a long, singular segment, and then we'll let him go. So we still have about 6 more minutes with the mayor of Minneapolis, Jacob Frey. Okay. You know this is coming. That as Republicans examine Tim Walz, and there's been some of it, there's going to be more examination of post-George Floyd, the riots, what happened, what didn't happen. The two of us have discussed this on air a dozen times probably, right? So this has been examined. But for someone who's listening right now and is still frustrated at you and, more importantly, for this conversation, Governor Walz, and said, Governor Walz had the ability to step in sooner, and he did not, and they're holding that against him when they're considering voting either for Donald Trump or Kamala Harris. What would you say to that person?
The context of the situation is really important here right now, because we were looking at a multitude of crises that were stacked on top of one another, and people kind of often forget the context. I mean, go back to 2020, global pandemic, economic downturn, people wearing masks for months on end and not seeing their family or friends, probably getting a bit of cabin fever, and then a police officer and Derek Chauvin murders George Floyd. Found guilty of, yes. And when you have that dynamic and, yes, righteous protest, having all of those things stacked on top of each other, when that protest turned both violent and you saw looting taking place at the same time, it was a massive issue that all of us were trying to deal with in real time. And so here's what I'll say. You know, and this has been well documented at this point, and so we won't get deep into the timeline, but I asked for the National Guard immediately. It was Governor Walz, not Donald Trump, that authorized the biggest deployment of National Guard in our state's history, at least since World War II. And you do the best you can through the most trying of circumstances.
You were frustrated, though, that the help didn't come at least a day sooner. Yeah. That's fair, right?
I think it's fair to say, yeah, you're impatient because, you know, any mayor, any governor would be impatient when your city is going through, your state is going through some of the most trying times in its entire history. And so you're doing everything possible you can to get the resources to your city and to your state that people need during a situation that was heightened in terms of both the pressure and the trauma. It was very real. I'll tell you, you know, Governor Walz has been someone that I've had a long-standing relationship with. As you remember, I was one of the first people to endorse his campaign back when he ran for governor. I stuck with him when other people bailed, even on the Democratic side. We went through some hard times there. There's no doubt about it.
Your relationship at the time was, I don't want to say fractured, but you saw that differently, and it sounds like it's in a different spot now.
Obviously, we went through some tough times. But when you go through that in any relationship, there are times also when it makes you stronger. And I'll tell you, I would rather have someone in the vice presidential spot that has had to make hard decisions on a moment's notice, that has been tested, than someone who's never been there before. A lot of times people want someone with a clean slate who doesn't have that kind of experience. But I'll tell you, here's the thing. I am a better mayor for what I learned in 2020. I am a better person for what I learned in 2020. My skin is thicker. You, to a certain extent, become weathered. And that experience, whether or not people want to admit it, I'll tell you, it matters a whole lot.
Let's finish with something that's not easy for you and it's not easy for taxpayers. It's the property tax situation. Are you headed for these type of increases in the next couple of years? It's 8%. It's not 9.5%, I think, the next year. Is that unavoidable over the next few years?
Well, first, you got to understand why the levy is what it is. And it's a few different pieces. But the two major ones are, one, labor costs are increasing. It costs more for every industry, every business, whether it's a government, nonprofit, or private sector, to pay for employees than it did a few years ago. Why? Because the same people that you got to pay more to fill the potholes and or provide affordable housing, they also have greater expenses just to live on a daily basis, whether that's childcare or buying bread. And so inflation has gone up. We've got to accommodate for that and compensate for it. And that has driven the levy up substantially. Now, on top of that, and we were sort of alluding to this earlier on, the valuation of some of these downtown buildings has dropped. When the valuation drops, so does the amount of taxes that you're able to collect from them. And who picks up the burden? Tragically, it's residents. And so this is not something that, you know, this wasn't like a lot of, there are no bells and whistles and shiny objects in this budget. Largely, we took them out. What this is about doing that meat and potato work that we have to do at our city, which is now more expensive. And by the way, Minneapolis is not the only city that's seeing this. If you look at the suburbs, if you look at St. Paul, if you look at any of the others, they're seeing as high, and in many cases higher property tax increases, because we're just dealing with the dynamics of the world right now.
Always appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Chad.
Round of applause for the mayor, who always makes himself available, even when times are tough. Let's pause. Come back. It's 53 past 1 here on CCO. All right, this is the dilemma you face. If you go longer with the guest like we do with Jacob, then this segment is shorter. But we'll go quick here. Your Odyssey time, your Lindis construction time is 158. Let me just say this. Andy Lindis has helped me out with roofs and other projects so many times. I trust Andy Lindis in my place 100%. Next hour, the president of the Minnesota Twins, Dave St. Peter, on the scene here at the State Fair.